The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson writhes in sympathetic anguish at 2 o'clock in the morning as poor husband John, victim of contagious insomnia, or Schmoe's disease, broadcasts the telltale symptoms during the crucial stage of the dread ailment. Listen.
That doesn't sound human.
She's
got it worked out in a regular pattern. Now you'll get amused.
Usually do.
I was just getting used to your whining and giggling, but now you start crying and it throws me off completely.
What are you talking about?
You've got to stop it, John. I've never been so sick in all my life, and you won't let me get a minute's sleep. I don't feel well.
What hurts you, Blanche?
Everything hurts me. Call Dr. Marvin.
You don't need Dr. Marvin. I'll take care of you. Tell me where it hurts.
It's those clams we had tonight. I didn't want to eat them, but you kept insisting. You kept telling me clams are healthy.
Well, clams are healthy.
They are not.
They are, too. Did you ever hear one complain? More than you did, and I feel perfectly horrible. I mean, fine. Where does it hurt you?
I think I'm poisoned. My whole body aches, and I've got a terrible shooting pain between my shoulder blades.
Well, lie still, and I'll fry you some cucumbers and hot root beer.
Fry cucumbers and hot root beer?
Make a new man of you.
You just want to finish me off, that's all.
Oh, Blanche, I'm only going to make a poultice out of it. It draws out the pain. It's a new medical discovery.
What's the matter with an old-fashioned mustard plaster?
Okay, I'll fix you an old-fashioned mustard plaster. Where's the bourbon?
Huh? What's that for?
To soak the mustard plaster.
John Bickerson.
Don't worry, I'll stretch the mustard off first. Where's the bottle?
I'm not going to stick any bourbon-soaked plaster on my back.
You don't stick it on your back. You hold it over your mouth and squeeze it. Put on the light.
I will not. I don't want you to touch me.
I'll bet you're not sick at all. You just thought this pain up to keep me awake. Why don't you leave me alone?
I can just hear you saying that to Gloria Goosby.
Why should I say that to Gloria Goosby?
Why, indeed? If you were married to Gloria Goosby, she wouldn't stand for any of your nonsense.
I'm not married to her, and she stands for a lot more of my nonsense than you do. What do I care what she stands for? I despise Gloria Goosby, and you know it.
Then why does she keep staring at you like she's hypnotized?
She doesn't stare. Just as she wears those outlandish dresses, and they bring out her eyes.
They bring yours out, too.
Now, look. Let's make a pact never to mention that woman's name again as long as we live.
Well, I keep thinking there's something between
us. I swear, I don't know she's alive.
He doesn't mean more to you than I do?
He means even less to me than you do.
I don't like the way that sounded.
Well, don't go looking for hidden means. Now, if you're really sick, I'll do anything you want to make you feel better. Now, if you feel okay, all I ask is that you let me have a few hours sleep. Now, that's fair enough.
No, I did have a little headache before, but now I've lost it.
It isn't lost. I've got it. Every morning when I go to work, I'm bleary-eyed, and I stumble around the office in a stupor. I don't know how much longer my boss is going to stand for it.
Why do you stumble around, John?
Well, because I don't get enough sleep. I'm completely debilitated. And only last week, I failed to pass an insurance examination.
Was it the same examination you had before?
Well, certainly.
Then why didn't you copy the answers off of the old policy?
Not answers. They want to give you a medical checkup. And apparently I'm not such an ideal physical specimen.
No, I think you're wonderful. You've got the nicest legs of any man I ever saw.
I don't think I'm long for this world.
Am I responsible for it, John?
No.
I am, too. I know I am. John, can I talk to you?
Sure. Go ahead and talk.
I've been thinking about how we quarrel all the time, and I'm sure we love each other as much as any other married couple, and I know they must have their little arguments to make it more than... John! You said I could talk to you.
Well, am I stopping you?
I want you to listen.
Okay.
I didn't know your health was bad, and I'm worried. If anything happened to you, I'd blame myself for not taking the proper precautions. Well, you know what I think?
What do you think, Blaine?
I think you ought to make out a will.
Make out a will? I thought you were worried about me.
Well, you don't want to leave me at the mercy of all those grasping relatives of yours, do you? The minute you drop dead...
Don't talk like that! Say, passed on or something like that?
Well, you always say drop dead.
Oh, well, that's only when I'm talking to your brother, Amos. You should be a little more delicate when you're discussing wills.
Why?
Well, because you make it sound like I'm going to go any minute.
Well, they don't give you 2 weeks' notice, you know. You just told me you couldn't get any more insurance.
Oh, I can get all the insurance I want.
I don't care. You should make out a will just the same.
Okay, I'll make it out tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Get up and do it now.
What?
Go on, get up and make out a will.
Why, you're out of your mind. In the first place, a will isn't legal unless you have two witnesses. And in the second place, I haven't got anything to leave in the first place. Unless you're thinking of that phony stock your thieving brother sold me.
What phony stock?
Those 500 shares of Kentucky Saltpeter. Not worth the paper they're written on. Nobody's going to take anything, and I don't need a will.
You're the most stubborn man that ever lived, John.
Why? Why am I stubborn?
It's the hardest thing in the world to make you admit I'm right when you know I'm wrong.
There's a woman's logic for you. Suppose I do make out a will and nobody can touch anything except you. Okay. So now you got all my worldly goods. First thing you know, you get over your grief and marry a guy without a dollar to his name. Like that broken-down snore specialist, Dr. Marvin.
Oh, I'm not going to marry anybody.
He'll give up his practice and take you for every penny. My hard-earned money. The little possessions I slave for. He'll drive my brand-new car. Drink my bourbon. Loaf around like a prince.
John!
Why don't you make the bum get a job, Frank?
John, what's got into you?
Well, why did you start all this talk about wills?
Well, I'll tell you. Amos just got a job as a notary public.
Amos.
And he gets $2 for every seal he puts on a will.
I knew he was at the bottom of it, that chiseling grafter.
There's nothing wrong with my brother Amos.
No.
You're just jealous because he thinks of ways to make a living without working.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is a little brain.
Nobody's got littler brains than Amos. He's the cause of 90% of our fights.
Oh, go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she tells me. Practically talks me into a funeral. Gets her brother to seal my will. Keeps me up half the night with Gloria Goosey and clams. Now she tells me, go to sleep. Can't sleep. Never sleep another wink. Long. Hello. The phone's dead. It's leaking.
Put down that bottle of bourbon. I'll get the phone. I wonder who's calling it. Oh, my leg. Put the lights on.
The lights are on. Take off my sleep shade.
Oh. Hello.
Len, this is Amos.
What do you want, Amos?
Can you talk him into it?
No, and I'm not going to try anymore.
What are you talking about? Everybody's got to have a will. I drew mine up today. I left everything I have in the world to Jocko.
John.
Yeah.
Amos said he drew up his will today and left everything he has in the world to you.
Tell him I don't want her.
Amos, John says he's very clean.
Fine, and you know one good thing deserves another.
Sure, I'll talk to him tomorrow.
It's very important to have a will, Blank. You know, there's a big case going on right now, and all the relatives are fighting over the dough because a rich old lady didn't file a will.
Really?
Yes, she had $100,000 in cash and hid it in the buckle of her wedding dress. Hey, tell Jocko.
John.
Yeah.
An old lady died and they found $100,000 in her bustle.
That's a lot of money to leave behind.
He says that's
never mind. I heard him. I'll bring my notary seal around tomorrow, Glenn.
You better wait till I call you. Good night, Amos. Oh, dear. John. John. I've got that shooting pain between my shoulder blades again.
Oh. Let's have a look.
Right here.
It must be arthritis or a neuralgia. It hit me like a knife. What is it, John?
It's the price tag on your nightgown.
No wonder my back was hurting.
Holy smoke, $48.50. Is that what that nightgown cost?
Yes, I just bought it this morning.
Whoa!
What's the matter, John?
Now my back is hurting. Good night, Blanche.